Boots on the Ground, a look at the local economy in Tripoli.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, in for Steve Chiatakis. Yesterday, it seemed victory was at hand for Libyan rebels. Today, the situation looks a lot dicier. Colonel Muammar Gaddafi has reportedly spoken with a Russian contact today and says he has no plans to leave Tripoli. The BBC's Rana Jawad joins me now from Tripoli to tell us what she's seeing on the ground. Good morning, Rana.
Good morning.
Is that the call to prayer in the background that I'm hearing?
No, actually it's not. What you're hearing is the imam at the mosque chanting out Allahu Akbar, which translates to God is great, God is great. That has been continuous for the past 3 hours now almost. These are the very same chants that encouraged people just over 48 hours ago to take to the streets again here in Tripoli as they waited for the rebel fighters from different parts of the country to advance into the capital.
Rana, what is it like on the streets of Tripoli right now? What is the mood like? What are you seeing?
Well, it depends what part of Tripoli you're in. I'm in the eastern part of the capital. This was one of the first areas that came under opposition control. People are just holding their breaths, waiting to see where the battle in Tripoli or when it's going to end, and not if. However, for much of the country and much of the city, at least, and its population, they are holding their breaths to see what the coming hours or days will bring.
Are businesses open right now?
No, they're not. Since, for the past 48 hours, everything is completely shut down. You might find the odd baker open for business just to give. They're not even selling the bread that they're baking. They're giving them out to residents. And I did hear one large supermarket not far away from where we are had been giving out all sorts of consumer goods for free to some of the opposition fighters based in their area.
We had heard that internet has been sort of sporadically up and down. Do you have internet service there right now?
At the moment, no. The internet was switched off 6 months ago, since the uprising began here. The internet is controlled by the government here. So everywhere else here in the city, people felt like they'd gone back to the Stone Age. However, in the past 48 hours, as the rebels moved into the capital, we had heard that the internet service provider headquarters here had been taken over by residents of the capital. And soon after, the internet was switched on. However, communications are still difficult. It's mostly due to fuel shortage and electricity outage throughout most of the day in the past month.
The BBC's Rana Jawad in Tripoli. Thank you, Rana.
You're welcome.
Instability in Libya has oil prices on the rise this morning, more than $84 a barrel. Markets are singing a happy tune this Tuesday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 1.25%, 136 points to 10,991. The Nasdaq up 1.8% to 2388. And the S&P 500 up 1.4% to 1140. Markets are on the rise in spite of some not-so-good news from the housing market. New home sales hit a 5-month low in July, down nearly 1% from June.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, helping small business owners, professionals, and executives monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. Reputation.com. And by IBM, working to help mid-sized businesses become the engines of a smarter planet. Learn more at ibm.com/engines. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com.
The head of Standard & Poor's is stepping down. Devin Sharma will leave the ratings agency next month. Questions have been heating up about the S&P's downgrade of U.S. debt, though the agency says that's not why he's leaving. Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more from Washington.
Standard & Poor's issued a statement saying Sharma was leaving to pursue other opportunities. The company did not mention the downgrade as a reason for his departure. James Angel teaches finance at Georgetown University. He says it's hard to tell why Sharma is leaving now.
Was it a response to the political repercussions of the downgrade? Was it a response to other things going on? or maybe he really does want to spend more time with his family.
Standard & Poor's says Sharma's departure is part of a major change in its operations. S&P is separating its controversial ratings division from the rest of its business. It's doing that under pressure from shareholders in its parent company, McGraw-Hill. S&P says the restructuring resulted in fewer responsibilities for Sharma. He'll be replaced by Douglas Peterson, the chief operating officer of Citibank. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
Air travel can be a constant surprise these days, and many of those surprises come in the form of fees for everything from checking a bag to extra legroom. But starting today, airlines will have to prominently post those fees and pay passengers more when they get bumped. It's part of a new flyer protection program, as WNYC's Jim O'Grady reports.
Consumer groups have long complained that buying a ticket online means digging deep into an airline's website to understand its fees. Charlie Lioka of the Consumer Travel Alliance says he'll be interested to see how airlines clearly display fees on everything from early boarding to extra legroom.
I really don't know how they're going to do it because they have so many different fees now and they change so quickly.
Airlines say they strive to communicate clearly with passengers. Steve Lott is with the Air Transport Association.
Airlines already have made many service improvements, and many of the regulations going into effect formalize procedures already in place.
In January, airlines will face even more rules, including notifying passengers at the boarding gate if their flight is delayed or canceled. I'm Jim O'Grady for Marketplace.
And finally, Kellogg is complaining a Mayan cultural heritage group stole its logo. The Maya Archaeology Initiative uses a toucan as part of its trademark. Kellogg says it's too reminiscent of Fruit Loops cereal frontman Toucan Sam. Hey, maybe this could set a precedent and Little Caesars could finally make its case against ancient Rome. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
When the ultrasound machine was introduced in Asia, self-selective abortions erupted across the continent, resulting in 160 million missing girls.
People see this machine as really a way to ensure them a boy.
I'm Bob Moon, new medical technology with unintended consequences. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.